We thought at first that we were going to have a Mass in the dark, like the Easter Vigil that we had just a week ago tonight, which was glorious, but very painful for me, my legs and so forth. The fibromyalgia is just getting worse and not better. But that is the devil attacking. But I remembered right before Mass an old devotion that my mother taught me, in which I have told you before, but you probably didn't remember. I took a piece of palm from Palm Sunday and burnt it. And immediately the thunder ceased. It does work. You don't mistrust a Spanish mother. Today is the last day, almost, the seventh day of the octave of Easter, the 8 days of Easter, which the Church celebrates. And thus, as much as we can at this Mass, we have all the candles lit and everything that we can do in order to give honor and glory to God, whose resurrection we celebrate, the resurrection of the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity become man, of the ever virgin immaculate Mary. And so the Church recounts to us on this Sunday, because this is the vigil of the Sunday. Now it has different names. Among others, it is called Sunday in White. Even though we have been wearing white all this week, and we will be wearing white with very few exceptions for the rest of the season of Easter until Pentecost. Unless it is a feast of a martyr or a funeral, in which case we will wear red or black. It is also called Low Sunday, because compared to last Sunday and last Saturday night, which lasted a beautiful 3 hours, but no less than the English rite. I was able to prove that to myself, because I did it because everyone prevailed on me, but I wasn't 100% convinced, even to the last minute. But I did it, even though 90% of the work was mine, and the singing. There's not much left to my voice this week. But as a result, compared to that, this is very low, even though it is not a low Mass per se. And then my favorite name for this Sunday comes from the introit of today's Mass. Quasimodo infantes, just like infants. You are to yearn for the milk that comes from God, from the newborn God, from the Lamb of God. And of course, the reason it is my favorite is because it was on this day that the mother of the hunchback of Notre Dame left her baby, newborn baby, at the doorstep of the Cathedral of Notre Dame, which soon will be opened again, I am told. And when the canons of the cathedral came out, they found this very ugly, disformed baby, but yet a baby, which a baby is always a gift. Today we had a wonderful baptism to a beautiful baby. A baby is always a gift. And we have about 4 or 5 coming up. But this little baby was really disformed. And so they didn't know what to call him. And so the canon said, well, this is Quasimodo Sunday. Let's call him Quasimodo. And you know the rest of the story. The hunchback of Notre Dame. But this week is also Divine Mercy Sunday, by the will of God. And there are some fanatics in the Church today, and they may or may not like it. I don't care. I only care what God thinks, not what man thinks. And so they think that their Divine Mercy Sunday is all human-made and so forth. It is not. Absolutely not. And of course, Divine Mercy goes back to the cross, when blood and water gushed out of his heart, when St. Longinus pierced it. Blood and water, the Eucharist and baptism, the two principal sacraments of the Church. And it is that is the mercy of God. It is that is the source of the mercy of God. And when in the 1930s, our Lord appeared to the Polish nun, St. Faustina Kowalska, he told her, "This will be the last time before the end of the world that I am going to appear to anyone like this." So we meet to listen. So he, on this Sunday, bestowed his mercy. And the readings very much ascribe this to that. He appears on the first Sundays, Easter Sunday, "Peace be with you." That's the divine mercy. Pax Vobis. Shalom in Hebrew. That's what it was all about. Christ came to reconcile man to God, because man had offended God and Adam and Eve, and ever since. And of course, man is still offending God over and over and over and over again. How he puts up with us, I do not know. I wouldn't. But he said it, "Peace be with you." He reconciles us to himself, to the Trinity. "As the Father has sent me," he says to the apostles, "I send you." And then he breathes on them, part of the rituals of the church, the consecration of the holy oils at the chrism mass, the baptism of an infant and even an adult, is the breathing and the sign of the cross over the thing or the person to be consecrated, to be baptized, as I did this morning to that beautiful little baby. And this is the Holy Spirit, the Ruah of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. And for this purpose only at this time, Pentecost is not yet come. 50 days from Easter. This is Easter Sunday. "Whose sins you will forgive are forgiven them." And thus the sacrament of confession, which sometimes is properly or improperly called reconciliation. It really is the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of confession. We do penance, we confess our sins, and then we are reconciled to the Father. So whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. However, whose sins you do not forgive, whose sins you retain are retained. Very seldom, but enough, I have had to say to somebody, "I'm so sorry. You're not in the least bit sorry for your sins. Be gone. I will not give you absolution. You will not be absolved. I will not forgive you your sins until you are really, really sorry and you come back and repent." St. Jean Marie Vianney, the great saint of the sacrament of penance. St. Pius of Pietrelcina, another great saint of the sacrament of penance. Many, many times they had to do this. I've had to do it a few times, but enough. And then he leaves. He disappears. A week later, of course, we have the whole incident of St. Thomas, Didymus, the twin. Maybe it was his evil twin that said these things. Either way, it was for a purpose. Everything is for a purpose. Good things are for a purpose. Bad things are for a purpose. And so he says, "Unless I see it for myself and do this and do that, I will not believe it." Well, a week later, tomorrow night, because this is Saturday, tomorrow night, on Sunday night, the second Sunday of Easter, the octave of Easter, Jesus comes again. And then he sees Thomas. Of course, Thomas hasn't had any communication with him, obviously. Maybe the others did, but he didn't know it. He didn't think they did. And Jesus says, "Okay, go ahead. Stick your fingers, stick your hand, and believe. And do not be incredulous." These translations are really cockamamie. I don't like them. "Do not be incredulous." Because ultimately, St. Thomas was not unbelieving. He just could not believe that the apostles were in their right mind. They were suffering from mass hysteria, from mass hallucination. And this happens sometimes. So he did not believe that they were telling the truth. They did not know what they were saying. They were just mumbling. But our Lord confirmed their truth and tells him, go right ahead. And then St. Thomas, it doesn't say it here, but he falls to his knees, to his face, and says, my Lord and my God, Deus meus et Dominus meus, which we should say whenever the priest elevates the host after the consecration and the chalice, and also at the moment before we receive communion, Domine non sum dignus, O Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Domine non sum dignus. You have come to believe because you have seen. That's not belief, that's evidence. But blessed are those. In that case, he's talking about you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That is, of course, if we believe. There are some people who go through the motions and they don't believe anything. They believe their dead cat is in their backyard. That's the only thing they believe. And that's the problem with most Catholics. That's why the churches are emptying out, why dioceses are being closed, seminaries, monasteries and so forth are being closed, because most people do not simply believe. The only thing most people believe in is their wallet. And even then, it may be empty. And they only can believe that it is empty. It's useless. We must believe. And the belief that we must have for our Lord Jesus Christ is that which the psalm speaks of and which this feast speaks of. The psalm, which is one of the most beautiful psalms of the Old Testament. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting. And over and over and over again, they repeat as they sang, going up to Jerusalem to the temple, his mercy endures forever. But in Hebrew, this does not translate. In Hebrew, it says, his hesed is everlasting. Hesed means loving mercy. Not just mercy. Loving mercy. We must love God. So many of us, unfortunately too many of us, we see it every day, look, open the newspaper, if you still get one, I don't. Turn on the radio or the TV or YouTube or whatever it is. Everywhere you go, you see evil and criminality and immorality. Most people, even Catholics, even priests, even nuns, even bishops, and God knows who else, and he knows that I'm not going to say it. But the evidence is in the things seen. Do not love God. Most people love themselves. They say they love God, but they do not love God. They do not even know God. In order to know God, in order to love God, we must be in union with him and spend time with him. And most people do not want to do that. So today, as we celebrate this vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, let us fall to our knees and beg Jesus Christ, our Lord, true God and true man, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, that just as from his heart, which is love itself, love incarnate, come forth the rays that represent baptism and the Eucharist, the sacraments of reconciliation and love, that we too may come to believe, and more than that, to lovingly believe, hesed, loving mercy. And in return to God, it is loving faith, loving belief. Because our life as Catholics is a circular life. It comes from God, and we must return to God. Loving faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.